things were, man, in 2 years, they'd change a lot. Amen. What a blessing it is to see these kids in church. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Amen. It says, verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all manner of conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Amen. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." I hope that's what you're looking forward to, because the one that we're on right now, the world that we're in right now, the Bible says, you see that? That was the Bible, says it's going to burn up. Amen. Listen, I want to preach to you this morning on a subject, amen. I want to talk to you about global warming. Global warming, because it's scriptural. It's scriptural. This reminds me, a few years ago, I was down in Florida in January. Why? Because I'm an evangelist. That's what we're supposed to do. And I was down there, and it was unseasonably cold as the end of January, and it was like in the high 30s or the low 40s, and everybody down there is in panic mode. And amen. Of course, I'm still in t-shirt. That's not cold for me. I'm a northerner. But not caused by SUV exhaust either. Amen. And let me tell you what it is caused by. Now, when I was young, my dad had a stove in the basement. And out back, there's a couple cords of wood stacked up like I see all over the north. Amen. I just come out of Maine. And you know what? There's no tree shortage. That's a big lie. Amen. There's a lot of trees up there. Amen. And amen. So here's what Dad would do. Now, he would get the stove going in the winter, and he would keep it going. Now, we had heat and everything, but that thing would supplement and keep the bill down. And you know what? That stove in the basement warmed the whole house. Because why? Because heat rises. Take your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 9 this morning. I want to talk to you on the earth getting warmer, but I want to give you the real cause. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 2, the Word of God says this, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit." It says, as the smoke of a great furnace. Beloved, this morning, let me re-inform you that in the center of the earth, you've got a great furnace. Listen, global warming is caused by the stove in the basement. So I want to preach on that thought here for a few minutes. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, I do come to you in the name that is above every name. And I beseech you, Father, by the mercies of God, that you'd enable me to say what you want said and to get the message across. And Father God, if there's somebody in here that's headed for that place, I pray that today be the day that they get their sins forgiven and get their name off the roster of those that'll spend eternity in the everlasting pit in the center of the earth called a lake of fire. And God, for the rest of us, Father, I pray that you drive the message home, that we can do something about it for other people. And Lord, please just meet with us, manifest yourself, move on hearts, Father, as only you can. And we'll thank you for it when it's all said and done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, I want to talk about the stove in the basement this morning. I want to talk about global warming. I think they call it something else now, and they might call it something else next year. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about this morning. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, the Word of God says this. I'll give you a second to turn there. Time's up. Bible says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Beloved, this morning, let me tell you why it's getting warmer up here. It's because hell's getting bigger. The Bible says hell enlargeth herself. In other words, it's getting more crowded. Amen. It's getting hotter. The fires of hell are being stoked by the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Amen. That are descending in there. Even while we sat in the comfort of this nice church this morning, hell's getting hotter and it's having an effect. Heat rises. I was in a church down south one time preaching and they put a flyer at a convenience store, and a lady came out of the store, and she said, do they preach on hell at your church? And she asked the brother that was taping the flyer up. She knew it was an independent Baptist church. There was a reputation in the town that they was hellfire and brimstone preaching going on down there. Thank God some churches still have that kind of reputation. The lady said, do they preach on hell at your church? Young guy looked at her and said, absolutely. Amen. You know what she said? So lady, amen, probably been saved a long time. Watch Christianity, amen, move more and more apostate every year. Why she is in a church that had a testimony like this, I don't know. But she said this. She goes, they don't mind anymore. Isn't it amazing to think that there are churches across America gathering this hour that won't dare mention that that an unrepentant sinner is doomed to an everlasting lake of fire for fear that they might offend someone? Listen, our business, our job, our desire is not to offend anyone. But the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, if there's anything a person needs to be free from, it's a destiny in hell. I tell you what, they ought to preach on hell at that lady's church. They ought to preach on hell at every church on occasion, if nothing else, because the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen. He said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, thou fool, I shall be in danger of hellfire. Boy, these days, they wouldn't dare quote that verse in some churches across the land. I doubt Joel Osteen ever even read that verse. Well, that's so insensitive. Letting people burn is insensitive. Amen. And Matthew 18, the Lord said this, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Lord Jesus Christ was worried about people going to hell. Amen. People need to hear preaching on hell because hell's real. Amen. The first gospel message I ever remember hearing in my life, and I was raised in church till I was 18 years old, and I knew some things about the Bible, and I was surrounded by decent, good, moral, nice people. Amen. They were very boring. Their relationship with Christ didn't exist. Amen. I went out in that world to find something real. Boy, and the devil gave me something real too. Thank God in his mercy. And at the answer of some praying grandmother and mother and father and some aunts and uncles, thank God he gave me another choice. Thank God Brother Tom Gretchen, the man that's now my pastor, I came into Montgomery County Jail 21 and a half years ago. I say that because there's people that said, yeah, Spurgeon got religion. It'll never last. Spurgeon didn't get religion, but whatever he got seems to be hanging in there pretty good. That preacher came in and says, Jesus loves you, but if you die in your sin, you're going to bust hell wide open. He preached for a half hour on the lake of fire. He talked about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I remember thinking, thanks a lot, chaplain. That cheered me right up. I'm looking at spending the rest of my life in prison, and now you're telling me I'm going to hell too. Thanks very much. I like to say this. I didn't like his message. I didn't like him. I didn't like his haircut. I didn't like his tie. I didn't like his Bible. I didn't like anything about him. I sure didn't like the message. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, I was almost 38 years old. And I'll tell you what I do appreciate. I appreciate a man that had the courage to look me in the eye and tell me the truth. And the Bible says the truth will make you free. Boy, and I pondered that thing for about 3 weeks. And I come to this right here. We sang the song, he paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. Now, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was willing to admit that I was a sinner. Everybody knows they're sinners. I mean, there might be some exceptions. I've heard people say, well, you can't just use a Romans road because some people don't see themselves as sinners. And so then you got to take them through the Ten Commandments. That might be appropriate. We can prove to anybody they're a sinner in no time with the Ten Commandments. But just to be honest with you, I don't run into a whole lot of people in my 21 years of living for God that have really tried to convince me they've never done anything wrong. Here's the problem. Here's what we do. Well, compared to so-and-so, it wasn't that big a deal. And then we can say, well, the glory of God, according to Revelation chapter 1, 21, is chapter 21, I believe, or 22, is the glory of God is the Lamb of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody's going to be, you might be in here this morning, and you're not saved, and by society standards, you're a real good person. And I'll give you that. You might be a real good person. You might be the best person in the room, but you're not going to be compared to anybody else. There's a zero tolerance law in heaven. God's not letting any in. And if you've got any, and you do, because the Bible says all have sinned, you're not getting in. Preacher said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then he went over and showed me the wages of sin is death. And I knew that to be true. I'd buried 41 of my own guys. Thank God the verse didn't stop there. Thank God the verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God he sent somebody that had the courage to me to stand up there and say the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ paid the price. I'm talking about the hard way. That Bible said he was scourged. That Bible said his visage was marred more than the sons of men. That Bible said he was nailed to the cross. He was mocked. Amen. And I'll tell you what, for his trouble, here's what he had to say about it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ended up in that jail cell after 3 weeks, and I thought to myself, if Jesus Christ did all that to keep me out of hell, I'd be a fool to reject that. And I was right. I was right, and I didn't reject it. I got saved. I'm glad. I'm glad somebody just didn't come and give me a little flowery message to help me feel good about myself. That's what's going on these days. Listen, I tell you what, it isn't my heart's desire to offend anybody in any way, shape, or form. But it is my heart's desire to give you the truth, the Word of God, because I'd rather run the risk of offending you than see you kicked off into a lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. Beloved, I speak the truth to you. You hear me? You hear me? Let me tell you something. We got an issue going on. We got a problem. The world's getting hotter, but I just use that as an illustration to remind you, listen, hell's real. Hell's real. I'm glad I'm not going there. They didn't preach on hell at that lady's church. They should have. Jesus did. You've heard it said, and it's true. He preached on hell way more than he did heaven. You know why? You know why the Bible says more about hell than it does heaven? Well, because if you're saved, you'll have all eternity to find out all the details of heaven. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you don't have all eternity to find out all the details about hell. Hell's real. You hear me this morning? I had a guy say, I asked him, you know, what are you counting on to keep you out of hell? And I mean, he wasn't argumentative, and I've had all that. But he just said, oh, I don't believe in hell. I thought, why didn't I think of that? Amen. Can I tell you? Hell's reality isn't determined by whether or not a person chooses to believe it. Where you spend eternity is determined by whether or not you choose to believe it. Amen. At Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So there, that lets you know who's doing the talking. And here's what he says, and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Listen, Hell's a real place this morning. Lord Jesus Christ got the keys. You know what it says in, I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Boy, we get thinking about touring that city, amen, and things like that, and I just love to preach on heaven. I love to read about heaven. I love to ponder heaven. I understand. I believe what the Bible says. Neither have entered into the heart. We can't even comprehend. We can't even scratch the surface of how good it's going to be. No movie, no song, no artist, grandest offering can even begin to... You hear me? It's going to be so good. I'm glad of that. I'm glad it's better than we can comprehend. Amen? But do you understand something? It would also be true, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man a thing that God has prepared for them that reject him. I'll tell you what, the worst scenario you can conjure up in your mind, the worst set of circumstances, the most dreaded thing you could ever think about being subjected to, won't even scratch the surface of how bad hell will be. Amen. That's why we preach on it. That's why Jesus preached on it. That's why Jesus Christ gave his life to make a way for people not to have to go there. Amen. If you're not saved this morning, I hope you get saved. You still can. You better. This isn't just a choice. This isn't, I've got my religion and you've got yours. No, it's Bible. It's Bible. You know, hell's a real place, but I'll tell you something else about it. It's real hot. It's real hot. Dayton, Ohio right now, thousands and thousands of homes without power. Amen. It's 103 degrees. We have humidity there. Amen. That's why I'm glad I'm here. Amen. You know what somebody's going to say? Somebody will say it. They've already said it. It's hot as hell out there. Actually... Not even close, not even close. Amen. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22. The Bible says this, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Amen. Well, what do you think a volcano is? Amen. That stuff coming out of the top volcano is in the earth. Amen? Science proves that. We went to the Smithsonian Institute. We go there. When we go to Washington, we go to different things and see them. We chip away at the long list. We've been there so many times that they finally got me in the National Art Museum. Boy, my wife is walking around there looking at paintings. Me and the girls were yawning. Amen? Amen? And I have seen the only Da Vinci in the Western Hemisphere. Praise the Lord, it's this big, you know. You know, put that on my check mark of things to do. My favorite place is to go to the American Smithsonian Institute of American History. I like American history. There's a lot of neat things in there. Amen. Star-Spangled Banner's in there. And that guy's dragster, I can't remember his name right now. But I like going there. We went there one time and it was closed. Closed for remodeling. Amen. That's your tax dollars at work. Amen. And going to be closed for a couple of years. So what are we going to do? We go to the Museum of Natural History. Natural History. Now we know we're in for a ride there. We go there and a little Evie. Some of you know Evie. She is about 6, 7 years old. And here we're standing in front of a skeleton, right, of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? Big old plastic dinosaur standing there, and you read the captain, and it explains how this thing's 50 million years old. And next to us now, it's me and my wife, 3 daughters, and then next to us is a bunch of public school kids. They're there on a field trip. They all have matching little polo shirts and everything, and they're all in a big group, and they've got their teachers, and they're like, oh, they're reading about all this evolution stuff, and they're oohing and ahhing, and look, there's a dinosaur statue, amen. And my little girl, 6, 7 years old, she goes,
Look at that, Daddy. These people are stupid. Don't they know the world's only 6,000 years old? My little girl knew that when she was 7 years old. You know what, Jeanette, when she said that, this public school group, they all looked at us and they all cut us a wide berth. And the rest of the day, it was never cried over women because we were some of them weirdo Christians that didn't believe in evolution. That was cool. That was cool. We got up there to the display about the earth and the earth's crust, and I started reading all that stuff, and here they got a big picture, and they do a nice job. Everything's real elaborate. And they got a picture, and it's the earth, and it names all the layers, you know, of the earth's crust, and in the center, it's just bright yellow. Amen. I'm talking about that Smithsonian Institute. And you start reading the stuff, and it says this, the earth's center, earth's core, I guess it's called, is made out of iron. It says it. Iron, and it gives all what all the layers are made of. I don't remember them. I don't care. But it says, because I'm going up, you know what I mean? And it says, the center of the earth is made out of iron. Now, I look at the picture, and it's yellow. But I say, it's molten iron. It is molten iron, and the rotation of the earth and this liquid molten iron is moving because of the rotation of the earth, and that's causing waves that is responsible for the tides changing and the magnetic fields of the earth. All that because the liquid center of the earth is so hot. That's going to be as bad as that would be. Just a little reminder, good way to start a meeting, amen? Say, oh, did you decide that? Absolutely not. Oh, no, I'd be sharing and you'd be coping if it was up to me. Amen. This is what the Lord directed this morning. There's somebody in here on their way to hell. I hope you get that thing turned around today while you can, because you can. Amen. Let me tell you some more things about it now. Hell's real, and it's real hot. It's not just that. It's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. Amen. 41 times at those biker gang funerals, I said this, I'll see you in hell, brother. See, but we had a misconception that we was going to party down. We had a saying, the big clubs had a saying, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Can you imagine something as wicked as that, as something as misconceived as that? Nobody's reigning in hell. Here's what they're doing. They're screaming, they're weeping, wailing, gnashing their teeth. That guy in Luke 16 was tormented. He asked for mercy and he didn't get it. And I mean, that Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, and everybody on the planet, amen, one day is going to confess that and do what that rich man said, and they're going to ask for mercy. But if you wait till you step into eternity, if you wait till you lift up your eyes in hell, you won't get it. You can get it now. He asked for mercy, and you know what Abraham said? What Abraham said to him? It says, remember that in thy lifetime, amen, it's not just a place of torment, it's a place of regret. That guy knows right now, 2,000 years later, that he didn't have to be there. I'm going to tell you what, everybody that steps into hell, and they're stepping in there as we speak, understand now, everybody down there is a Bible believer. Everybody down there knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody down there knows they didn't have to go. Well, if we could get some more to realize it on this side of that last breath, amen, then they wouldn't have to experience that. I'm sure glad somebody told me. It didn't cheer me up. I wasn't happy about it. But boy, later on, I was really glad somebody had the courage to tell me the truth. This church preaches the truth, and you better be glad. Amen. It's the only hope you had. It's the only hope your relatives got. It's the only hope your family's got. And somebody better tell the truth on that book, because that's the only hope our country's got. Amen. 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 And so, amen. And that rich man's there, and it's real, and it's real hot, and he regrets being there, and he's tormented. You know what they say? This is so ridiculous. The terrorists are suing people because they were tortured. They were tortured. You know, these days we got the Department of Justice suing states. What? Are you kidding me? Torture. Well, what'd they do there, Ahmed? Well, they took a plastic bag. They took a T-shirt and put it over his head and poured water on his head over and over and over and over. And he thought he was going to drown, but he knew he wasn't going to drown because they knew this was just so. But torture. Man, that Bible says a rich man was tormented in flame. Jesus Christ was tortured. We got things mixed up. I'm trying to help you this morning. Hell's real. Remember? Hell's real hot. It's a place of torment. Ain't no partying going on down there. Ain't no rock. The rock stars are there, but they're not singing tonight. They're screaming. To add insult to injury, to lift up your eyes in hell and see Jesus Christ on the cross. To lift up your eyes in hell and hear a preacher saying, you don't have to go through all eternity. The regret associated with that destiny. Crazy. Let me give you one more thing about it. That doesn't mean I'm almost done. Don't get excited. Amen. It lasts forever and ever and ever. You know, I love the verses in the Bible where the Lord said it came to pass. I've been in some things and I heard a preacher say one time, it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. Aren't you glad the older you get, the more trials you've been through, the more patience you develop, even in the midst of things going crazy, you know, just wait long enough, it'll pass. Amen? We were in Pensacola a couple years ago. We had just got into town, blew the engine in our bus, trying to diagnose the thing, and the brother that was helping me, he said something so simply profound that I got a hold of it, and it's helped me ever since. We're faced with, can we fix it? Is the motor got to come out? I got a very busy schedule. We don't have a lot of money. All these ifs. This is terrible. And he said, well, one thing, we're still in a diagnostic stage. He said, one thing, no matter what, no matter how it goes, if we can fix it simply or if it's going to be major and if it's going to be cheaper, it's going to be expensive, no matter what, a month from now, it'll be over. You know, and we get so worked up and frantic and fret ourselves like the Bible tells us. And you know what? It passes. Don't worry. There'll be another trial coming, okay? But not so with hell. It never passes. It never ends. No do-overs. Person ends up in that place and, you know, it says over there in Matthew chapter 9, or Mark chapter 9, in 6 verses, 5 times, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the fire is not quenched. And that means exactly what it says. Hell's a bad place, man. And if you're not saved in here this morning, and I'm not asking if you've been baptized, and I'm not asking if you joined a church somewhere, if you're a good person, and it doesn't matter. Maybe you've done some bad things in your life, and now you've turned over a new leaf, and you're a good... Praise the Lord for you. But if you're not saved, and you die before you get saved, scripturally, born again, like the Lord Jesus Christ taught, I'm telling you, I'm obligated to the preacher of the gospel, Jesus Christ, to let you know that you're going to go to hell. And you're going to burn. And it isn't our desire, and it isn't this church's desire. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. Certainly it's not what God wanted. He gave his only begotten Son. Amen. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
God did everything he could do to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ had said who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, peculiar people zealous of good work. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done. Through the centuries, men and women, boys and girls were killed. Some burned at the stake just for hiding portions of the scriptures so it could be compiled 400 years ago and give us the finished Bible. And if there's a message in that Bible, it says, don't go to hell. And again, that's the very purpose of Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church. And I'm here to tell you today that according to the Word of God, if you die without Jesus Christ, that is where you will go. And nobody wants you to go. We don't want you to go. All right? Take your Bible. I want you to turn to this verse and go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And look with me in verse number 13. Psalm 86 and verse 13. The Bible says this. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Amen. If you're saved in here, that's you. If you're saved in here, you know about hell. If you're saved in here, you confess that you know that you are a sinner. Amen. And that your sin was going to put you in hell. And you got in on the gift of God and the grace of God and the salvation that Jesus Christ paid for. If you're saved in here today, it isn't because you're a good person. It's because you got all the fact that 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. And if you're saved in here, there's some things about hell. You may know everything I've said. You certainly knew enough to have enough sense to make sure you didn't end up there. Amen? So someone might say, why do you preach on hell on a Sunday morning to a church full of saved folks? First of all, I don't know that everybody in here is saved. I think the Lord directed this message because there's a good chance somebody's not. Could I say to you, this would be a wonderful day to get your sins forgiven, especially in light of the fact that we have no guarantee we'll have another day. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I'll tell you what you do have a guarantee of. You got a guarantee where your soul will spend eternity. And there's only two choices. Say, yeah, but I was taught. I apologize for the way you were taught. If you got an option besides heaven and hell, you was taught wrong. Right. Say, who do you think you are? I'm a King James Bible believer.
Amen.
That's who I am. Who are you? What do you believe? You got something you want to compare notes with this book? That's what I get. People say, well, I think, or I read, or I saw the Discovery Channel special that said this. You want to put all that against the Word of God and gamble eternity on it? You know, the Lord said, come now, let us reason together. If you've got a foundation that's got you in danger of hell, we might need to sit down and reason together a little bit. Someone say, well, Brother Spurgeon, why do you preach on hell to a bunch of people that are saved? I'm going to tell you why. If you are saved, you know some things about hell. But that ain't all you know. I'm glad you're here this morning. Many of you I know. Amen. Seen before. Getting to know even better. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you something else everybody in here knows. You know somebody that's not saved. You know somebody that's on their way to hell. Well, some of them might be in your family. Some of them might be on your street. Some of them might be where you work. Amen. But there's people you pass. Listen, there's cars going down that street right now. Why ain't they in church? Yeah. Well, if they're going to be in one that don't preach on hell, they might as well be out there on their way to the golf course, on their way to the park, on their way to the lake. They might as well be. But I'm going to tell you what you and I better get a hold of. We've got a responsibility to let a lost and dying world know that hell awaits. That's why I preach on hell to a bunch of Christians. Remind you of what you got saved from. And the Lord left you here to point some others to the cross of Calvary so they don't suffer the fate that you deserved. Amen.
Listen, maybe just like this, I'll leave you with this. If the earth could, I mean, it can't. And I've heard it said before. This isn't real. But if the earth could open up, I mean, if these nice curved pews could just be curved a little bit and a big hole open right there, I mean, right down to the center of the earth, right here in our midst, I'm going to tell you what, if we could get a whiff, I mean, just a whiff of the rancid aroma of smoldering sulfur, just for a minute, just for a couple of seconds, if we could get a glimpse on the face, the anguish on the faces of those people that are there right now, weeping and wailing. And that's, you know, my dad was in World War II, and he didn't talk about it hardly ever. He was in the Philippines, but at some point, I think after I'd come back from the military, he said, we were talking, the most horrendous thing he ever saw, thing that burned in his brain, was the face of a Japanese soldier that had been burned up with a flamethrower. That anguish on that guy's face as he burned alive. I'm talking about on his skull, the expression he'd never forget. Boy, I tell you what, if hell could open up right now, we'd see millions of folks like that. Only they wouldn't be dead. They'd be screaming. Wonder if that'd rekindle our desire to let a lost and dying world know that hell's real. Amen. Amen. If we could hear, we couldn't stand it. We'd have nightmares the rest of our lives. But if we could hear for a brief moment the screams of agony of those incarcerated in the internal prison house of sin, I gotta believe. It'd change how we look at our Christianity. Every week I'm in church somewhere. Here's how it goes. We see each other. We greet each other every night. How you doing? People say, fine. People say, I'm doing all right. I'm going to tell you what. If we'd remember that we are headed for hell, that we know people right now that are headed for hell, we would not be so satisfied with just doing all right. Boy, if we could have a burden rekindled for the folks that are on their way to hell, for the folks that Jesus Christ cared about enough, amen, that he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, amen, and we wouldn't be so apt to compare ourselves with others like I taught in Sunday school. We wouldn't be so quick to judge everybody else. I'll tell you what, if we get a burden for those on their way to hell, and you know we do, we'd weep for them. Oh, they got purple hair and they look like they fell in a tackle box. Amen. Ooh, that's awful. That's disgusting. I'm going to tell you something. They're on your way to hell. You better pray for them. You better weep for them. You better invite them to church. You better be prepared to give them the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You better quit judging them. I'll tell you what. We could be reminded of the hell that God saved us from. We wouldn't have to spend 10 minutes at an invitation trying to get people to come up and thank God for saving them. Now you got to beg Christians to be thankful. It ought not be that way. You know why it's that way? Because we forgot. Now we knew at one point we had to have known. If you're saved, you had to have known. But we've forgotten how bad it is. And I'm glad. I'm glad to be delivered. Aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But boy, left us here. Lord left us here. Hey, I'm not talking about standing in the middle of the street and throwing tracks at cars and people. But man, we got an obligation. Do we start the day? Do we start the week? Do we ask God to give us an opportunity to hand out a track or to say something or invite somebody in church? Or we just get so busy about our business that we don't even think about it anymore? I'm trying to get you to think about it some more. Hell's real. Boy, you study through what the Bible says about it. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. Go take your Bible, go to Proverbs 15, verse 24. And the Bible says this. Proverbs 15, verse 24. The Bible says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The way of life, eternal life, is above. Amen? Now this global warming and, you know, and maybe now this year they call it climate change and next year they might call it something else, but it ain't going to go away. It ain't going to go away. They're gonna talk about it. You're going to hear about it. They're going to spend millions of dollars about it. It doesn't matter that they proved it's a hoax. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Doesn't matter. Truth doesn't have much of a place in this world. It doesn't matter that Holder lied. It doesn't. None of that matters. Nobody cares anymore. But I'm going to tell you what, as Christians who have the truth from God, we better care. We better care. I personally like the concept of global warming, of climate change. I like that. I like that. I'm glad it's out there. It's in everybody's mind. What I would like that is every time a Christian hears it, rather than be getting mad at Al Gore, the idiot, remember the real cause. Oh, the world's getting warmer. Yeah. Whether the ice cap's going to melt, who cares? I don't care. I'm not spending eternity here. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, Christians need to be reminded that there's a stove in the basement, and it's getting warmer. It's getting hotter because it's being stoked by the souls of the unsaved. And there's only one thing we can do about it. There's only one thing Christians can do to slow down global warming. And that's get some souls to Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you? That's a question for you to answer within your own spirit. Are you involved? I know there's churches, there's ministries, but it just seems like this day and age, there's always a few that are involved in everything, and always quite a few, it seems like, just anxious, then let's get some people to Christ while we have a chance. All right? Let me say this and I'll be done. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved and you die before you get saved, you're going to add to the problem. You're going to add to the problem. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I could live the Christian life. I don't know. I said, you don't need to worry about that. What you need to think about is dying not as a Christian. That's what we need to worry about. I didn't consider living as a Christian when I got saved. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ because I didn't want to get what I deserved in hell. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, our prayer is that you don't die unsaved. But Jesus said you must be born again. And he said that so that you won't have to hear him say, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Somebody said once, well, you're just trying to scare us. Not really. Just trying to tell you the truth. Man, we live in a country, and don't get me wrong, I love my country. But I mean people in America and around the world, they've been lied to by politics, and they've been lied to by Hollywood, and they've been lied to by religion for so long. People don't know what to believe. Most of them don't believe nothing. I'm glad somebody convinced me. Amen. I hope you get saved. You need to know the truth. What you do with it between you and him? Well, your blood won't be on my hands. It won't be on Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church hands. This church stands for the truth. I hope you get it. He'll save you today if you let him. If you let one of us open a Bible, show you what it says. It's so easy. An old doper, drunk gang member got it 21 years ago. He didn't make a wimp out of me, and I'm not perfect, but I'm a long way from what I was. Amen? Don't run the risk of joining the ranks of those that not only tormented, but regret not taking God up on the offer of the gift of eternal life. It's being offered right now. Pastor, you come, you listen to what he has to say. Why don't you let one of us open a Bible, show you how you can come to the saving knowledge of Christ, man with a man, lady with a lady. You hear me? We'll take as much time as you want. Say, well, I've already been here too long. I'm going to tell you what, it is so simple. It doesn't take any time at all if you have this one thing. If you're willing to be honest with yourself and honest with God, it all falls into place real well. We're not trying to talk you into something. We're not trying to get you to join anything. We're not trying to sell you anything. What you do with the truth's up to you, but you heard it. What are you going to do with it? Be a good day to get saved, wouldn't it?
And if you haven't given much thought to people around you, where they're going to spend eternity, caught up in your cares of this life and the affairs of this life, and we're warned about all those things. But that's one of the purposes for a meet like this. Get us back thinking on spiritual things. Amen. And then God will bless all them other things that we're so worried about. We force him to the sidelines. Let's get him back where he belongs. And then his burden will become our burden again. Now let's all stand. Pastor Piat, you come. Finish this any way you want.
Well, if you just stand there for a second. You know, he had made comment about how when he got saved, he didn't become a wimp or anything like that. And, I mean, you can obviously see that he certainly still looks like a man, still sounds like a man. We could even say he's still a little rough around the edges.